And the black-hatted hombre pulled his six-shooter and said, "Well, this is your greatest opportunity." And he began shooting around the old miner's feet. Bang, 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 and the old miner's dancing around. And then he shot again, bang, bang, bang. And the old miner had two things going for him, age and experience. He'd counted the shots. The mean young hombre was getting a big laugh out of the whole affair, and until he saw the old miner walk over towards his pack mule and pull out his rifle. It was at that point that the young hombre realized he had shot all six shots. The miner looked him square in the face and said, "Have you ever wanted to kiss a mule?" The young hombre said, "Well, not really." And he said, "Well, this is your greatest opportunity." Well, I don't know if those are really great opportunities. But today we're going to look at a passage that will talk about the greatest opportunity. It tells you how you can have eternal life, how you can know for certain that you are going to heaven. So today is your greatest opportunity to make a decision that will affect your eternal destiny. We're actually going to look at John 3:16. It is a passage that is often exposited, but never exhausted. I like what the old songwriter said about it. He said, "I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. For those who know it best, those who know that John 3:16 story, those who know it best, they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest." But there's two people he wants to share it with, those who know it best. But he also goes on to say, "I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word." So I want to share John 3:16 for two people, two groups of people today, for those who know it best, who are hungering and thirsting to hear it again, because we love that story, and for those who've never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. We're going to see the greatest love in history. We're going to see the greatest gift in history. And we're going to see the greatest opportunity in history. All taken from John 3:16. First, we see the greatest love in history. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world. For God, this is a reference to the omniscient, omnipresent God, the eternal, almighty God, the everlasting God, the creator of the universe, the only true God, made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have the Godhead, but this is talking about God the Father sending God the Son. "For God so loved the world." Now, some of you are thinking, well, how do you know all that just by looking at "for God"? How do you know that he's eternal, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent? How do I know that? Well, let me explain it this way. Back in the early days of Texas, a rancher was riding, and he came upon an Indian friend lying flat on the ground with his ear pressed to the ground. And in broken English, this Indian said, "Wagon. Wagon pulled by two horses. Man driving wagon. Long beard. Black hat. Wearing buckskin." And the rancher said, "Wow, you can tell all that just by pressing your ear to the ground?" And the Indian said, "No. Wagon run over me half hour ago." You see, this Indian had some previous knowledge. Well, that's how I can look at "for God so loved the world" and know that he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty, eternal, and the only true God, because I have some previous knowledge. I've looked at this book before and looked at other parts of this book. And the Bible makes it crystal clear that there's only one true God of the universe, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more. It tells us that this almighty, all-powerful God is a loving God, for God so loved. The term for love here is not eros, a consuming physical kind of love. It's not philos, a conditional mutual love. It is agape, a compassionate, unconditional love. For God so loved unconditionally. This agape love is a desire for another's highest good. And who does God love this much? The Bible goes on, for God so loved with this agape, this unconditional, committed, sacrificial love, God so loved the world. The world. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We love some. God loves all. He loves the intellectual and the illiterate. He loves the beautiful and the beastly. He loves the rich and the poor. He loves the weak and the strong. He loves red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. He loves you regardless of race, color, gender, status, education, position, power, or wealth. He loves you. There are millions of people on this planet we don't know. God loves them all. But this passage goes beyond that. The term world involves you. I want you to understand the personal aspect of this. For God so loved you. Now we come to the greatest gift in the world. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh in the virgin birth, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. God the Father sent God the Son to this planet, to the earth. He's the eternal Son of God. He is the unique Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. All others that are part of God's family are adopted sons and daughters. Jesus is the only begotten Son. He gave Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. God the Father sent God the Son to take our place. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died in our place as our substitute. Christ died for us. He gave his Son to take our place. God the Father sent God the Son to take our punishment. You see, the wages of sin is death. What I deserve, my wages, what I deserve because of my sin is death. Spiritual death, separation from God. What you deserve because of your sin is spiritual death and separation from God. That's the punishment for our sin. But Jesus took our punishment. It's interesting how Peter puts it in 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. A young rancher rode into a western town in his buggy. He got out of the buggy and started to walk into the general store, and suddenly his horses spooked. Jerked away from the hitching post and started running. He immediately turned around and ran and grabbed the harness. And the horses continued to run, and he's trying to hang on because they'd been spooked. They were running, and he's trying to hang on, and they're dragging him. They're trampling on him. Finally, they came down and stomped on him, his chest and his head, and he refused to let go. He died. The onlookers couldn't understand why he didn't just let the team run. But in the buggy, they saw a blanket. Under the blanket was a basket. In the basket was his baby boy. He gave his life for his son. He loved him. He didn't want him to die. God loves you. He doesn't want you to die spiritually. So he gave his son to die so you could live. The greatest love in history. God loves you. Think about that. We're talking about the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, eternal, almighty, only true God. And he loves you. He loves you. That is an overwhelming thought. That's an amazing love. That he would love us that much. That he would give his only begotten son. That's the greatest gift in history. God gave his only son to die in our place and pay for our sins. Why? Why would he do that? Well, it goes on to explain. With the greatest opportunity in history. Why would God sacrifice his son for you? In order that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. What a phenomenal opportunity. The opportunity to have eternal life. The opportunity to have forgiveness of all sins. The opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. The opportunity to have a personal, daily relationship with Jesus Christ. This offer is being extended to whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that whoever, being extended to everyone in the world. 2 Peter 3 says, God is not desirous that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 says, God desires all men to be saved. This offer is being extended to all mankind. And it's being extended, therefore, to you and to me. I don't deserve it. And let me be honest, you don't either. None of us do. But that's the amazing part of his love, that he would let his son, his sinless son, take our sin in his body on that cross, that cruel cross. God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. God wants you to spend eternity with him. What a clear choice. Consider carefully, the options are very distinct. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. Here's the option. You can perish. Eternal conscious torment in hell. Or you can have everlasting life. Eternal conscious joy in the presence of God. Death or life. Hell or heaven. This is the choice. These are the options. Some of you might be thinking, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? And my answer is, he won't. He won't. And at this point, you're saying, well, I thought you said my only two options were hell and heaven. I did. So, that's my question. How can you say that a loving God would, and how can you say God loves people and still believe in hell? Just for a moment, take your Bibles and turn back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and look at verse 41. I want you to see what the Bible says here. Matthew 25, 41. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Now notice this last phrase. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for people. It was prepared for the devil and his demons. Will people go there? Yes. But not because God prepared hell for them. God prepared heaven for them. He sent his son to die for them. All they have to do is believe in him and they'll go to heaven. But for those who choose to reject Christ, for those who do not believe in Christ, they will go to hell. But not because God sent them there. He sent his son so they wouldn't go there. They will go there because they chose to reject Christ. They chose not to believe in Jesus. You see, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And the wages of sin is spiritual death and separation from God. His justice demands a payment for sin. And if we don't accept Christ's payment for our sin, we will end out in the lake of fire. It's the opportunity we see here. The greatest opportunity in history is the opportunity to turn to Christ, to trust in Christ, and to have eternal life. You're asking, well, how do I take advantage of that opportunity? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. The scripture answers it right here, John 3:16. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever gets baptized will not perish. Oh, doesn't say that? No. That whosoever gives a tithe every month, no, doesn't say that. That whosoever takes communion, no. Lives a good life, no. Reads the Bible daily, no. Joins a church, no. Prays every night, no. That whosoever believes in him, believes in Jesus, yes. What a simple solution. Eternal life is given to whosoever believes in Jesus Christ. A man was once attacked and robbed, blindfolded, led up a hill, told to raise his hand above his head. He felt a little something there. He said, get up on your tiptoes. He reached up, felt the rope there. They said, grab it. He grabbed it. And just as he grabbed it, they pushed him. He put his other hand on there, and he's hanging by this rope. And they explained to him that he was suspended over a deep chasm with rocks at the bottom, his death awaiting. His heart is pounding. His mind is racing. He's gripping with as tight as he can with his hands. His hands and knuckles are turning white. And his weight seems to grow heavier. And his grip seems to grow weaker. And finally, he loses the grip and he falls 3 feet to the ground beneath him. It was all just a trick of the robbers to give themselves time to get away. And yet, as I look at that man as he's gripping that rope, it reminds me of what we're like a lot of times. People are hanging on to what they can do to try to get to heaven. They're going to make it themselves. They're going to do it on their own. But they're going to find out their grip isn't strong enough. They're going to find out that what they do isn't good enough. They're going to fall. We can't get there by what we do. We need to let go and just trust in Christ. In fact, there's an old song about that, about nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Really, it's turning to Jesus. The key is faith, that whosoever believes in him, the key is faith. For by grace are you saved. It's a gift of God. That's grace. God's giving us grace, undeserved goodness. For by grace you save through faith. Through faith. It's our faith. God's grace and our faith, and we're saved. It's an amazing thing. Believing involves three things. Knowing the facts. Agreeing that the facts are true. And trusting in them. Well, you know the facts. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died and he rose again. When he died, he was dying in your place to pay for your sins. You know the facts. Now, you may even agree that they're true. Yeah, Jesus is God's son. He died on the cross, rose from the dead. But it's not enough to know the facts, agree that they're true. You have to trust in them. You have to trust in. The key question is, will you trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin and for eternal life? It's the only way you can be forgiven. The only way you can have eternal life is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him. You see, the greatest opportunity to have eternal life and a personal relationship with Christ is being offered right here to whosoever believes in Jesus, and that could be you. Let me just say this. If you were offered a great honor, you'd accept it. And a great honor is nothing compared to this. If you were offered great wealth, you'd accept it. And great wealth is nothing compared to this. If you were offered incredible health, for exemption from sickness, you'd accept it. But exemption from sickness is nothing compared to this. God is offering you and me eternal life, forgiveness of sin, a personal relationship with Him, heaven, as a free gift. Why wouldn't you accept it? By the way, you cannot remain neutral. You cannot remain neutral. You've heard the good news and you have a decision to make. You either say, yes, I'm going to trust in Jesus as my personal Savior, or you say, no, I'm not going to trust in Jesus as my personal. You can't be neutral. And no one else can make the decision for you. Back in 1829 in Pennsylvania, George Wilson was sentenced to be hung for murder by a United States court. President Andrew Jackson, in reading about the case, decided to pardon him. But George Wilson refused the pardon. He insisted it wasn't a pardon unless he accepted it. Well, that was a case that had never been thought about before. So the president called the Supreme Court to decide. And Chief Justice John Marshall gave the following decision. A pardon is a paper, the value of which depends upon the acceptance of the person implicated. It's hardly supposed that a person under sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And he was hung by the neck until dead. You know, it's hardly to be supposed that one under the sentence of eternal death and separation from God would refuse such a pardon. But if he does, he'll be eternally separated from God. We're all under the sentence of death because of our sin, and God is issuing us a pardon. But that pardon must be accepted. If it's not accepted, it's no pardon. What will it be for you? You're being offered eternal life. You're offered forgiveness of sin. You're offered a relationship with Jesus Christ. Will you believe in Him? Will you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Right now, right where you're at in the quietness of your heart, you can do business with God. You can express to Him that you now believe that Jesus died for you, paid for your sins, and rose again. You could say something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand the wages of my sin is death, separation from You forever. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. And right now, for the very first time, I place my faith in Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. There are many in this room who could tell you about the day they did that. And what an incredible joy, peace, how grateful they are they made that decision. Please bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I just want to pray again, and then we're going to sing a song. The praise team can come up. Father, thank You for Your amazing grace that You want to give us this gift of Jesus and eternal life. Thank You for Your amazing love that You would sacrifice Your own Son, let Him die so we could live eternally. I pray for any man, woman, boy, or girl here today that has never yet made the decision to trust in Christ, that today, during this service, would be the time that they say to You, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. Right now, I trust in Him as my own personal Savior, that they place their faith in Christ. And if they do, Father, we know from the Scripture that You give them eternal life as a free gift. How do we come to You, Father? We come just as we are, without any plea of any good we have done. Our only hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for us, just as I am, without one plea. That the blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. As we sing,